The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 407. I hope all is well with you, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVDcast. I hope your Thanksgiving was a good one. Mine was good, but there was some travel problems. My girlfriend and I decided to travel to Tennessee to visit her parents. And while driving my girlfriend's 2013 Kia Sorento, the engine totally locked up. Now, to give you a little bit of background, apparently he is aware of this problem and they've issued recalls. And I guess we overlooked getting it done before we left for this trip. And nonetheless, broke down on the side of a highway, had to get a tow truck, towed to the closest Kia dealership. But I am impressed with this Kia dealership. Let me just explain something. This is not me having them signed to a contract and they're paying for advertising. Nothing like that. I'm just saying and going to give flowers, as the kids say nowadays. Cumberland Kia. This dealership helped us out tremendously with not only running down what went wrong with the car. They're fixing it as we speak. They got us okayed to get some money back for the repairs due to the recall. Got us a rental car so we could drive back to Columbus. I'm telling you right now, I have not had customer service like this in many years. I want to say 4 or 5 years. And I don't care. I mean, yes, this is a car dealership, but just overall, if I can rant for a minute, I feel like no matter if it's a car dealership or it's your cellular phone provider, or it's your internet provider, or if it's a tree trimming service, I've had some really half-hearted, haphazard customer service. And so Cumberland Kia, they gave us such great customer service. I'm going to just, again, preach to the heavens and to anybody that listened to me that Cumberland Kia, CumberlandKia.com, by the way, is their web address. Cumberland Kia of Cookeville, Tennessee, a world-class Kia dealership. And thank you so very much to everybody down there. All right, with that out of the way, now you're going to get the rundown of what to expect on this episode of the PVDcast. Well, as you know, whenever one of the big WWE premium live events comes around, whether it's Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, or Survivor Series, I'm joined by the pro wrestling pundits DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Ran to dissect and analyze and make predictions about the event. The Pro Wrestling Pundits are still joining me on this episode, but we're kind of doing things a little bit different. Because of when WWE Survivor Series War Games, it was scheduled to happen this past Saturday, which it did. And unfortunately, given the Thanksgiving holiday and traveling for myself and some of the pundits, it was kind of no real easy way to do a preview episode. So there's not going to be one of those. At this point, it's useless. So we're just going to give our opinions and give our thoughts on what we watched on the Survivor Series and kind of just go with the review episode, no preview episode, but guaranteed that preview is going to return when it comes time for the Royal Rumble. So we're going to talk all about what happened this past weekend because, you know, a lot of things happened. Unless you were living in a cave, you didn't know. Some people returned. And I'll just leave it at that. But before we get to that conversation, I need to thank my great sponsor of this wonderful podcast. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. You know, I just gave you a couple minutes of a rant where I thank the fine folks at Cumberland Kia for having some great customer service. And customer service is top-notch at World's Greatest Comics as well. If you walk into that store and you're saying, I want to pick up a comic, but I don't know what to get. I don't know. It's been a while since I've read one. Guaranteed, Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics will steer you in the right direction. Because they have plenty of single issues, graphic novels, collectibles, collections, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, some primo editions, toys, comic book supplies. They got you covered for your fandom. If you happen to be in the Central Ohio area, check the store out by stopping by. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And once again, I thank all the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics for being a great sponsor. I truly mean it, and I truly appreciate it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear me and the pro wrestling pundits dissect the Survivor Series. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down here with DJ Joey Blaze. Joey, how you doing?
Well, GalaxyCon is this weekend.
You know what? It crept up on me. I totally didn't realize it until just today that GalaxyCon is this weekend.
So I gotta warm myself out a lot this week to make some money for it.
Well, we'll get that OnlyFans pumping here.
Hey, if you like Fred Flintstone feet, check out my OnlyFans page.
Ringside Rand, how are you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Life is good in the Golden Ghetto. And for all you ladies, a guapo aquí.
I don't even know what that means. But okay, anyways, we're here to talk about the Survivor Series. As I let people know through the various social media outlets for the PVD cast, we were not doing a preview because of the holiday and travel and the WWE not setting a schedule.
You might not have done a preview, but I was 100% correct on my preview show.
There you go. There you have it.
Prove me wrong, Chris Benoit.
Wow. I'm not Chris Benoit. Please don't. I'm offended. Don't call me that.
Well, and I don't think it's that because of the holiday. It's, I think, because you did that weird cosplaying thing with your woman where you dressed up like the gobbledygooker and you made her crack you out of an egg and you got it on after that.
Well, I cannot confirm nor deny that.
That's not bomb chicka, that's bomb gobble gobble wow.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to recap the show here and talk about all the things that went on because, you know, it was pretty boring. Nothing happened. That was sarcasm,
very,
people.
Very boring.
Yes, very,
Survivor
very
series.
Very boring. All right, let's start it off. As folks know, or if you're new to the show, allow me to explain that we're going to go through and talk about each and every match, and we're going to rate it on a body slam system. 5 body slams for an absolutely amazing, amazing match. 1 body slam if it's the drizzling shits. All right.
In 2023, which do you consider more? Like, the body slam was always the staple in the 80s and 90s, but we don't see a good body slam as much anymore. Did the super kick replace that or the DDT?
I think the Canadian Destroyer.
Another, that could be a whole other cast of moves that are used as a setup move and not a finisher.
Mm-hmm.
That I just bring in the soapbox, we'll reel it in, and I'll get on that. I'd be happy to talk about it. But seriously, though, how often do we see body slams? Like an actual regular body slam that we would get more hype for 30 years ago?
That's a great question.
It would have to be somebody smaller in stature doing it to somebody bigger.
Mm-hmm. To get that wow factor.
Right, like somebody doing Doudrop or...
The one I popped for happened during Survivor Series.
Which was?
We don't see him that often. Somebody that's always done a power slam, and we haven't seen him wrestle in a year and a half.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, his power slam's tight.
Yeah. But you don't see that as often. Mm-hmm. Just to throw that out there, I know that's not where we're going with everything, but there's a lost art of a good body slam.
I would agree with you on that. All right, let's talk about overall, the overall show. Let's give it a body slam rating, just looking at everything that we viewed on Saturday night. Rand, I'll go with you. How many body slams do you think the show deserves overall?
Pretty close to the minimum. I'm going to go 1.5 out of 5.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's shocking. I was not prepared for that. Why? Okay, why do you say that?
I don't think there's a whole lot of character development and storylines when there's so many weapons involved.
For war games?
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with you on one hand with war games. I don't like this version of war games, and I know it's because I'm older and that, but to me, there's no feeling of, oh my God, something horrible can happen. Like, there's no urgency to it. And I agree with you. All the weapons, there was no weapons in the original, you know, besides that, like, I think at one time they did use one of the Road Warrior spikes, I think, if I remember correctly. But there was nothing like a million garbage cans being thrown in there and tables and that. Still, it's an interesting matchup. I have my opinions on those too, but I'm not a huge fan of the new style of war games.
I miss the old style with a roof on top of the cage. I was talking to some friends about it. Like, how awesome, like, how worried were you about Brian Pillman when Sid mm-hmm. Vicious?
Mm-hmm.
You were emotionally attached to that moment
mm-hmm.
in that War Games, right? So when the actual cage is the weapon and not weapons are the weapon. So I get what you're right. saying there. And that's, you know, Cody's talking all this stuff, you know, what that had created. You know, but that's not what he created. He created, but neither was a roof, because if I'm not mistaken, the first one didn't have a top on the ring, did it?
I thought they always had.
I couldn't remember.
Did. Yeah.
But I think that adds, you know, and it keeps people a little bit more grounded. It keeps people closed, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes, closed in where they can't climb out.
Well, and that's the thing that I will say is I did like that they hyped up the fact that if you left the cage, you forfeited. Like, I thought that was a good rule. My thing I would like to see them do is elevate that. Like, okay, I don't know how tall the cage sides are, but let's just for argument's sake, say they're 10 feet, right? So they're 10 feet. Why not move them up 2 more feet, have a 12-foot wall, and then put the roof on top? Because I know why they're doing it. Their excuse would probably be, well, because we want to have athleticism from the, you know, spots from the top of the cage. Well, okay, you can still put a roof on it and still do spots from the top of the cage. And it would be a better aesthetic, if you will. Oh, wow. So the two war games really sunk it that bad for you.
Didn't do much for me, now.
Okay. Joey, how about you? Overall score?
I gave it 4 body slams. I'm almost on the other end of the spectrum, which some people might say that anyways, but just because...
I have spectrum too.
Okay. I used to have Wide Open West.
Okay. Spectrum raised my internet bill. I'm not happy about that.
Fuck Spectrum. Don't
figure.
Yeah. Hashtag fuck Spectrum. Anyway. So I enjoyed it. Now, I had to go play catch up because I had other things going on. But I caught the tail end, so I think catching the best part maybe swayed me a little bit, and we'll talk about that throughout the night. But I think you had singles matches that you're not getting the normal dose of stuff. Like, you had Santos Escobar versus Dragon Lee. Guys, those two guys are going to be stars. I personally feel that, especially Dragon Lee. I think Dragon Lee, with some seasoning, he came to the right place at the right time. He's endorsed by Ray. I think, you know, I enjoyed Gunther and Miz. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. That was a fresh new match,
mm-hmm.
right? The women's match. So we'll talk about it. But, I mean, you had fresh new feuds to go with some of the old feuds, too. So that's what I enjoyed. I enjoyed the whole card. The thing I still don't enjoy, though, is I enjoy a traditional Survivor Series show, which is all 4-on-4, right? You could have, like, for the big feuds, do the cage thing, but I don't have the last survivor. I always thought that was really cool, too. But, no, I gave it 4 stars because I was entertained. 4 body slams, excuse me. I was entertained throughout. I probably, if I was teetering on 4.5, but I gave it 4.
I gave it 4.5 body slams. Now, I removed your one wish or your one complaint, whatever you want to say, is I automatically just disqualify the fact that we're not going to get a classic Survivor Series match. I did that like a month ago when I go, oh, it's almost time for Survivor Series. We won't get what we want. I thought overall that the show was pretty solid. I can't say that there was an absolute awful match on the show. Even with, I feel like the weakest one was the Women's War Games, but even that was enjoyable and entertaining. So overall, yeah, I gave it 4.5. I was really, really impressed with what they presented to us.
I think a good way I look at it, too, is you sit and watch the whole thing. I don't think there was a piss break match.
No.
Usually you have that match like, yeah, but you wanted to watch. You were intrigued. You wanted to, you know, you had, like I said, you had the new blood fighting each other. You had, you know, and you were intrigued by that stuff. So I kind of would throw that in there, too, to help factor in my scoring.
Okay, well, let's get going here. The first thing I wrote down, because I totally didn't even catch this. Apparently, I wasn't paying attention. And I also, it just piqued my interest. Ruffles was a sponsor.
Huh. Hold on. Really?
Yeah, you did not know that.
Is that sarcasm? It's in my notes in red. Slim Jim is in my notes in red.
Oh, I fell for that one, hook, line, and sinker. I walked right into that one. Yeah, I just honestly, I haven't thought about Ruffles in a very long time. That's why I knew they still
ridges.
Made them.
Did you know they have ridges?
I am aware.
So when people talk about, you know, WWE versus these other AEW, this versus this, WWE knows how to take a sponsor and use them correctly.
Even if
you have it written in red. You remember that, right? What was like the sponsor of the street fight between the Golden Dildos and what's his name's
group?
Don Callis with the rental of because they don't have enough people, so they had to add Cage in there. Like, it was sponsored by something, but I don't know what the fuck it was sponsored by. I can't remember.
All the time on AEW's mat, man. It's right there.
It's right, you. But they don't integrate it where you can remember it.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that match.
Oh, remember that? They brought Leatherface out, so you remember. But WWE has a way, even though we're pissed. Like, you're like, oh my God, so much. What's the one with Ray? Ray had the cereal or something with the... Cinnamon Toast Crunch, right?
Oh, yeah. That was a few years ago, wasn't it?
Well, they have a unique way of doing that, and I think that's one of the ways you'll never knock them off the perch, because they're never going to always get that sponsorship money because they do it right.
Yeah, I mean, they had one Ruffles backstage incident that I can remember with the Alpha Academy, the women's tag champs, Pretty Deadly and R-Truth coming in and having a little comedy spot. It was okay. It was what it was. Again, I agree with you. They do have a way to highlight those sponsors, whether you like it or not. All right, well, let's get into it. War Games. It is the ladies up first. Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Shotzi versus Bayley, Asuka, Io Sky, and Kairi Sane. Before we get into this, thoughts on the heel turn for Asuka?
I've always thought of her as a tweener anyways.
Okay.
I don't think the heel turn is... I think they're eventually going to break the Japanese wrestlers off to do their own little thing.
Sure.
I think that's where it's going to go. But I don't mind. It didn't throw me off or anything because, I mean, she was just a heel at Mania, kind of, right?
Kind of, yeah.
With the new look and the mist.
Right.
And, you know, so I didn't find it that surprising. I'll let you guys elaborate on that. I was going to go into talking about the match.
Right? Yeah, I thought Asuka was, especially when she was speaking in Japanese and you didn't know what she was saying.
I did.
I thought she was heel.
I knew exactly what she was saying. I'm educated like that.
And yet, El Guapo Aqui you don't get.
No. Well, that's Spanish.
I know.
He only speaks Japanese.
Oh, konnichiwa.
He learned from Mr. Ninja. That's what I've been told.
I've learned from Al Brzezinski.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okani Jingwa.
What he said.
Here's my question. Why was the women's War Games only 4 competitors, but the men got 5 competitors? Like, that was the one thing. As soon as the men started at the end, I'm like, wait, they have 5. What the hell? How come the women only got 4?
In some ways, you think it'd be the other way, because women typically are smaller than men, and 5 women would take up a similar amount to 4 men.
You mean just in the square footage of the ring and whatnot?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said before we went on air, you could take Bailey's ass. It takes up some real estate. And I'm okay. I'm okay with that real estate, right? So,
well, anyways, I was kind of a little bit annoyed with the timer gimmick. Because they had it up there and you're like, oh, they're really going to time this. This is going to be a shoot. Oh, no. No, 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 no. They pulled it down for a while, which made me go, they're gimmicking the time. But what do you guys think about the the overall match itself.
I thought the high point was the flying trash can off the top.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's going to be Io Sky. She's going to be like Kofi Kingston. Every big match you're going to watch for her to do something crazy, just like he does. I thought it was a good match. The trash can lid. I thought that those spots. The first one was a total whiff, but the second one, holy cow, did Kairi Sane nail, forget Shotzi, I think it was, with that lid.
Go ahead. Shotzi was sponsored by Dippity Doo. She had all that hair gel working.
For you younger audience members out there, Dippity Doo is a hair product for men from the 1970s.
1860s?
18. Well, the match ends when the faces gang up on Bayley, and then there's the manhandle slam through the table, and the faces win. Anything you want to mention about it before we give our ratings, Joey?
Going into the match, I heard the name Shotzi, I was thinking drizzling shit Shotzi. Like, I have never really been impressed with her, but she was pretty good in this match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised by that. My other thing is, how about Charlotte's freaking robe?
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
That was.
She's on a whole other level with that. I enjoyed it for what it was, for being, you know, they had the fun spots, they had this, and, you know, you want to try and do these little things to keep, and as it should be, keep women on the same level. I gave it 4 body slams myself overall, because I found it entertaining.
Bianca had 2 hair whips. Not just the one. So that was something different. That's pretty
cool. I wish she had 0, but that's a whole nother story.
I think eventually we're going to get our wish, because I have a feeling that if you're going to, you know, when she starts to show a little bit of, you know, staleness, I bet they revamp her and that ponytail goes away. But
I think that's like 80% of her personality.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think it could, but I think I've seen her away from kayfabe and away from WWE. Like, I think she can stand on her own without having to worry about the ponytail.
Yeah, I agree. I'm totally with you.
I think it could evolve her character.
Mm-hmm. I think it was great. As much as I didn't like it, I think it was good enough to give her something to make her a little bit special when she started out. But I think she's established it now. She's doing commercials now. She's on the face of the trucks. She's got her niche. She's got into the groove, so to speak. She doesn't need it now. She doesn't. Rand, how many body slams for this match?
I give it 2.
I gave it 3 body slams. I thought there were some really good bumps, but it was a little bit sloppy at certain points. But overall, I thought it was one of the better women's War Games matches. I thought it was pretty good. All right, let's move on to the Intercontinental Championship match. The Miz taking on Gunther, the Ring General.
Ring General. Like, the G becomes a Y. Understand it. Guys, how good are both of these guys? Just sit back and think about.
Miz is so underrated. He can carry a show.
I wrote this down. Totally great story. And I don't think I've said that about a WWE match in a few months. Maybe longer. I don't know. Man, just this match told such a great story of this is Gunther. He's the unstoppable monster. And you got The Miz, who everybody just writes off because he was on a reality show, and he's been on more than one, but, I mean, he started on a reality show. Yeah. This told a great story. I felt the finish was a little bit lackluster, but overall it was fantastic.
2-year streak for Gunther, they've built him really well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
534 days or something like that.
I think he started his streak the same night that Orton got injured.
Seriously?
I think if you look at the numbers, I think it was like 535 for both. That stuck in my head when he said, well, he hadn't been here for so long, and Gunther's had the title for, I was like, or the same week maybe it even happened.
I can see that.
Yeah. Which is crazy, put in perspective, a year and a half, right?
Yeah.
I think that we're watching this, the evolution of Gunther, and he's the, you know, I hate to steal a term from Lesnar, but we've been building him up since Rumble, because I think one of us predicted him to win the Rumble maybe, or have a good show and clear back when we did the last Rumble show. He's a star, man.
Absolutely.
He's a star. Since Triple H has taken over, he knows what to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that in Trips to have the confidence in Mike or in the Miz to have that match. And, you know, and as Rand said, he's just an unsung hero of the WWE still. He's a 2-time Grand Slam champion and he's underrated. That's insane to say.
It is when you think about it.
And because he is underrated. Like he never gets put in the same sentences or paragraphs or chapters as a lot of our Mount Rushmore wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, having like that's top 15 material of all time.
There's
top 20.
There's a lot of times between his talk show, his backstage, and his work. He's the MVP of a lot of Raws.
Yeah.
He's put the, and he says it, and it's a pompous way of doing his interviews, but he's put the WWE on his back a few times. And I think just like if you look in AEW, like we didn't think MJF could wrestle, and man, did he put on a good match with Bryan Danielson.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with Miz, like, ah, it's just the Miz, and then Miz can go and he can do any style.
He can
adapt to any, he is the chameleon. He's the Chris, our current Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In my notes, I wrote down Edge and Chris Jericho were both mentioned on this show.
Yeah, they were. They were talking
about the Intercontinental title reigns. It's really out of character for them to talk about.
They even talked about All In during the War Games.
And they also mentioned El Generico because the fans started doing the. So, you got to think that they're going to loosen up a little bit on that just to poke the bear a little bit over there at AEW. You know they're going to get that loosened up.
And by the way, this match was brought to you by Ruffles Potato Chips.
Oh, thank you for telling us that. This was match of the night for me, Gunther and Miz. I thought this was match of the night. I gave it 4 body slams. Like I said, the ending was a little lackluster. I didn't really like the finish. But the rest of it, the build was fantastic.
Do you think that they were told to cut it short?
No, I don't think that was it. I just think that they probably, I don't think so, Rand. I think they thought, well, this would be something different. It was, but I don't know. It just kind of, to me, fell flat. Because it seemed to happen out of nowhere. And you built this great story, and then boom, done. Whoa, wait. I want to kind of see, you know, to use it. A literature term. I want to see that climax and that falling action.
I love to see a climax.
Anyways.
Who doesn't, right?
Joey, what do you say for your rating?
I'm going to go 4.25.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Actually, I went back and watched it like 1.5 times because I kind of watched it and then I went through and watched it again. I'm a big advocate of storytelling during matches. And the WWE way is different than a lot of other different ways. So they told the story, but they didn't have an obscene amount of super kicks or this or that, or it was a very good WWE style story.
I went 3.5. I thought it was probably the best match of the night.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next match, which is Santos Escobar versus Dragon Lee. I did put this down. My only gripe about this, and I know originally it was supposed to be Carlito, and then he got injured, and they replaced him with Dragon Lee. And I feel like this build to the breakup of the LWO was really kind of rushed. I don't feel like it had the same impact because it just seemed to happen within a matter of a couple of weeks. Instead of a slow build to this, I would have preferred to see some more tag matches with Santos and Rey, and then somehow.
Well, I think they would drop like Easter eggs in when, you know, Rey would be the whole thing with the U.S. title and how he got the shot that was supposed to be Santos's because he was injured. So I think there was a slow build with that. I would really love to see Los Lotharios join Santos and then have 2 feuding factions now.
Oh, that would be sweet.
Bring back Los Barricas.
Yeah, you could be part of them. Why not? Los Barricas. What was the hairy one's name? Who was that?
Perez.
Yeah, Miguel Perez. So. And Pero Aguayo was one, too. Right?
I think he was. I think so. I can't remember who all was in the Los Barricas. But anyways, I'll look that up. Salvio Vega was. I do remember that.
But going back to the match, I like the time they let some quote-unquote new blood have some PLE time. That's what they call it now, right?
Yes, PLEs.
Premier live events. but have that time to show what they can do, because both of those guys can do. And I don't, you know, a lot of times those type of guys get labeled like cruiserweights or pushed to the side for lucha. I like their style. I gave the match 3.5 body slams.
Okay, Los Pericos consists of the leader Salvio Vega, Miguel Perez, Jose Estrada Jr., and Jesus Castillo.
Oh.
So, I don't know. I agreed with you. I thought that...
What about Jesus Cristo? Was he part of
it? No, he was not part of it. Okay. All right. Anyways, so you said how many body slams? I'm sorry, I was looking
at
3.5. All right.
Three?
I went 4 body slams because I thought it was a really good match. I liked that the Canadian Destroyer was the second to last move that was done, so I'll give you a pass on that one instead of it just being the finish. I liked it. I thought it was high-flying. I think both of these individuals have a bright future, as you said before, Joey. So I liked it. So 4 body slams. All right, before we move on to our next match, gentlemen, I got to thank the great sponsor of the PVD cast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They are located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, collections, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, some primo stuff in the front case, comic book supplies, you name it, they got it for your fandom. And so, if you can't make it out to the store, you ought to check them out online. WGComics.com is the website, and they're very active on the Facebook page. Just stop on over at WG Comics.
That's your one-stop shop.
It is your one-stop shop for all your comic books.
Go talk to Jeff.
You talk to Jeff anytime you go to the store, Rand. He's usually
the
there.
Manager. I know these things.
I know.
Is it J-E-F-F or G-E-O-F-F?
No, it's J-E-F-F. J-A-R-R-E-T. No, sorry, that's the wrong Jeff.
I was always confused about G-E-O-F-F.
I always thought that was like Joff or something.
Yeah, get off or something.
Yo, Eve.
For my last guest that was on the PBD cast, Jeff Dale, who spells his name that way, J-E-O-F-F.
Sorry, Jeff Dale. My bad. My bad, dog. My bad. At least it's not like Kyle, you know. You remember that old George Carlin stand-up where he talks about names?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Kyle. Jeff. I can't think of some of the other names that were in that stand-up.
He's just so great. Was
Carlin Mark?
Carlin Mark, okay. Yeah, I would say that. I just was wondering, you know, what maybe, say, Christopher Walken would have to say about certain names.
The name doesn't matter. It's in the heart. It's in the heart's what matters.
Oh.
I don't know. I just freestyled that.
Okay. How's the Terry Funk impression coming?
No.
Too
nasally.
Too nasally. All right.
It's not there tonight, John. It's not fucking there. Hulk. Dusty, it's not there.
All right, let's get to the next.
Bigger.
Let's get to the next match, which was Rhea Ripley defending the Women's World Championship against Joey Stark. No, let's try Zoe Stark. Anyways.
So what's Zoe? What kind of name is Zoe?
Anyways.
It's like you're Joey, but you sleep a lot? I don't.
It's like Morley. Is that the opposite of Leslie?
I don't know.
Morley Safer?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Leslie Stahl?
And there they are.
We're there. That's 60 minutes.
Did we just step into the Twilight Zone for old people?
I think you have to be a minimum of 70 years old to be on that show.
On 60 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Who's the cast now? Boy, we've really diverted our audience away from Survivor Series talking about
Let's
60
get back
minutes.
To some dippity-doo talk.
I bet Leslie had a nice stall back in the day, I'll tell you that.
So okay. Rhea Ripley and Zoe Stark.
Zoe Stark, yes.
I think Rhea's built up so much that there really aren't a whole lot of challengers for her. And Zoe Stark certainly isn't one of them. This was never really in doubt to me.
I wrote this down. It seemed really long, but it wasn't. You look up the time, it was 9 minutes. But just, this is the match for me that kind of was like, eh. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it was about the match. It really wasn't bad. It wasn't sloppy or anything, but I just, like, I didn't care. I kind of, like, ugh.
So this would be the weak point of the night.
And this would be the weakest match.
Well, I think maybe you talked about build-up earlier. I think that's maybe kind of here with this. Because, and it's not maybe really because, I think it's because Rhea is involved in so many things with Judgment Day, too. Like, she doesn't get time to shine on her own as much. I thought Zoe's little face paint gimmick was pretty dope. Like, the Wolverine type of scar. Like, I think Zoe is a solid talent. I think she kind of, once again, we talk about showing, you know, some of the new blood. I think it was nice to see somebody else shine at that position instead of somebody that you see every week. And better than seeing Nia Jax wrestler, let's be honest.
Oh, God.
So, who takes out Rhea? Like, they've built Rhea like this now. Who's going to be the one that's going to knock her off? I mean, I would say Jade Cargill.
It's a real good chance.
That's a real good chance, yeah.
They meet for the first time at the Rumble.
Mm.
They have some squaring off. People interrupt them, but they build that from
to Mania.
Rumble to Mania.
That would be good. That would be good. I was going to say Raquel Rodriguez, they did, but I think she's out with an injury, isn't she?
Yeah, because she was in the ring a week ago with Nia Jax, so probably.
Okay. All right, my bad then, okay? I'm just, like, you're right, Joey. I feel like this wasn't built well. And it wasn't terrible. Like, that's the thing, as I wrote down, it really wasn't bad, but it just didn't hold my attention for some reason. And maybe, too, because Zoe Stark was just a heel not too long ago, you know, when she was doing the whole thing with Trish, which was great. Her work with Trish was fantastic. I thought that was a very good storyline. Very good, very entertaining, but she comes off of that and then automatically is put into this match or this program with Rhea with very little build up. And again, I was confused. Do we have two heels facing off, or is somebody a baby face? Like, what's the deal with that designation?
I just don't think Zoe Starks has enough physical presence
no.
to go against Rhea.
No. And I think Jay Cargill, now that you guys said it, is probably the odds on favorite, because I mean, unless you pull somebody from SmackDown like Charlotte Flair, which I think that's enough. They've done that too many times in the past. They need to just let her be on SmackDown and do her thing over there. Yeah, I don't know who they have else that they could bring in. I gave it 2 body slams.
Joey? I gave it 2.5 body slams just because it was a solid match. But for the positive reasons I listed, but there, I guess, like I said, just... This could have been a Raw match.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great.
I gave
way to
it
put
2, and by the way, it was brought to you by Slim Jims. I wrote it in red, so it's true. It's makes damn sense. True.
I'm hoping you didn't write any of that in your own blood.
No.
All right, let's move on to the main event. It is the men's War Games match. Drew McIntyre and Judgment Day against Cody, Seth, Jay, Sammy, and Randy Orton, even though we don't know where Randy Orton is, because he could not be found anywhere.
Oh, Jesus, where was he at? We didn't know. We were just sitting on pins and needles the whole son of a bitch night. Weren't you, Rand?
I think it's interesting that there's questions about Drew McIntyre. Although he's working with the Judgment Day, he's not really with the Judgment Day. So Rhea talked to Drew and offered him something, but we're not sure what.
We know what.
I find that interesting that she's involved with this match as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, unfortunately, I think Drew McIntyre has been booked into a corner. Like, I don't know what they can do with him because he was a strong babyface. Now he turned heel. And
but
now,
he's only with them to get to
Jay Uso, which I don't, like, that's okay. I mean, I get it, but like.
It's a stretch.
It's a stretch. Thank you. In storyline.
Once this whole thing, when they released Riddle, that just fucked up his storyline, his current storyline. Right?
Yes, right.
So we all, you know, they had a funny thing going with that. They were rekindling the same shit he did with Randy. Okay. And then once he's gone, then, like, he's like, what can I do now?
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't be for a guy that's 6 foot, what, 5 or 6, like 280 pounds. Like, that shouldn't be, what should I do now?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think it was kind of like the throw in, and then he's in the world title picture. I mean, there were rumors that he was going to be a member of Judgment Day. He still might be. He still might end up being one.
I did say that the Razor's Edge through the table was a hellacious spot. That was a cool move. Rhea grabs the briefcase, comes down with the briefcase to cash in, but she's cut off when Randy Orton's music comes on. And my God, what a pop he got.
Year and a half,
he's been gone.
And I think every day during that year and a half, he was in the gym. Holy thick and built. Yes. Thick and meaty.
I also liked, so Orton gets into the match. I like the 5-on-5 DDT, the draping DDT. That's a cruel spot. That was
real. Well, last year they did the same thing. They all did the Sheamus where they pour him over the top.
They did the bell fast to the bell tolls or whatever it's called. Yes. Overall, the RKO from the top of the cage on JD McDonagh, that was also an amazing spot as well. Cody gets the win with the crossroads on Priest. And the winners are, of course, the babyfaces.
How far and how good has Damian Priest gotten?
Oh, my God. I thought about that, too. Literally, I'm not making this up to just, you know, pander to you. That literally, I sat on that couch and I'm like, man, remember when he was punishing Martini in Martini? When he was punishment Martinez and he wasn't very good in Ring of Honor.
No.
But my God, he is so good now. So good.
And the goofy gimmick he had in NXT when he's in the hot tub with the ladies and he's doing the arrow stuff. But it's one of those things where if you stick to what you're doing, you can get places. And I think that's another one. I don't know how old he is, but I think that's another one of your future guys. He's going to be a world champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see. He's got the look. He's got the attitude. He's got the charisma. The charisma's came out of, like, they've been pulling it out of him. Everything's been gradually getting better since he stepped foot in NXT.
Is he oozing
machismo?
No.
Sure.
But speaking of oozing, I think I dribbled a little bit when we heard like a little static and then called a personality after that match. Oh,
there you go. Ran?
Complete honesty. The match is over. Michael Cole stands up and says, we're going to find out a lot on this post-show press conference. I turned it off.
Well, because they threw up the symbol and the lower right-hand corner.
I think it's done.
Yeah, that's always how you did it. Yes.
In the words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. I didn't know until the next day.
In the words of Yogi Berra,
it ain't over
till it's over.
It ain't over till the fat lady sings.
Oh. I've had a few of them sing.
I will say this real quick.
Because of my tongue.
I avoided the internet because Joey, you mentioned you watched it later. Like, you know, you were delayed. I watched it Sunday because I was not home. I did not get home from my Thanksgiving Day trip till 10 o'clock Saturday night. I was beat, et cetera, et cetera. So I avoided the internet, literally, did not look at my phone for an entire, 13 hours or whatever till it was time for me to start watching the Survivor Series. So I thought the big surprise literally was Orton. I thought, because I had not seen Raw the week before and I didn't even read about it. And so I'm like, oh, Orton's the big surprise. Well, okay, that's cool, I guess. But, you know, a big return, none bigger than CM Punk returning at the end. And that was great.
Now, is CM Punk the Meghan Markle of the wrestling world?
Meaning?
Half love him and half hate him?
I believe that, yeah. After listening or after reading what was on Twitter today about his promo on Monday Night Raw, which everybody bitches about it, I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't him throwing shade to everybody because that's what you wanted.
Right.
He didn't. So I guess that's why everybody's bitching about it.
It could have been more.
Yeah, it could have been more, but
he got a pop when he mentioned AJ Lee's name, too. Yes. I think she's coming back.
I do, too. I think that's part of the fact
that they mentioned her.
Mm-hmm. And she's done with WoW, whatever she was doing there. Mm-hmm. So really quick, back to the War Games.
Yes.
I gave that 4 body slams. I really enjoyed it. I love Dominic Mysterio. I love him as a heat magnet. God, he's a great heel. I love that. Like I like Judgment Day as a faction, even Funko Pop Head. I think he's funny, and I was glad to see he ate that. I enjoyed it. I gave it 4 body slams.
I gave it 5. I thought it was really good for what it was. I gave it 5.
How over is Jey Uso too?
I know. Now,
Jesus Christ on a bicycle. Where did that come from?
I don't know. Because I would not have
like the whole Yeet thing, and then the whole crowd. Your boy R-Truth was in the crowd doing the whole...
The dance.
Yeah. Rand, how about you with this
My
match?
Bad.
I went 375.
Okay. All right. Well, let's maybe talk now a little bit here with the remaining time that we have about what we might see. So we had Raw last night, which, to be bluntly honest, I thought was kind of mediocre. I didn't really think it was great. Obviously, the big thing that everybody wanted to hear is Punk at the end, which I guess we've kind of already covered. Don't need to rehash that. But where do we see things going from here? What do you think? Like, for an example, what does Punk do next?
Is there a chance, and I don't think a lot of people knew that Punk was coming back?
Accordingly, no. Apparently, there was not.
They struck the deal on Sunday.
Is there a lot of chance that Raw had to be rewritten with a day's notice that he was there?
Well, it didn't have to be rewritten. Just put him at the end of the show.
Yeah. I think that was why it was probably at the end of the show. Because, yeah, I mean, if I was booking it, that's how it'd either be the beginning of the show or the end of the show.
And you keep promoting them, and then people watch the whole show.
Yeah, absolutely. Smart.
Now, I did see YouTube promo of Seth Rollins talking about CM Punk as being this huge cancer. Nobody wants him around. Was that legitimate?
No, that was... So, I think that what you're talking about, that was, what, like a year ago or something, yeah. I think. I think there was some legit
heat
there.
This was bubbling underneath.
But when you said you listened to that press conference, did you watch the press conference?
No.
Okay. And you talk about it. Triple H understands business. That's the thing about doing business. And doing business is not the Vince McMahon way with him. He's understanding what I feel is good business. And money talks. And I think Seth Rollins will shut the hell up for a match at WrestleMania with CM Punk. And I think that's where you're going. I think that's what it's going to build to.
A lot of people are saying it's going to be a Roman Reigns CM Punk. I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, you won't see that.
I think it's a very bad idea. I want to see him against Rollins because then that would be an amazing match. Not that it wouldn't be a bad match with Reigns, but just style-wise.
And the way that they talk, you won't be able to reach this, but I think it could be this era's Rock and Austin. I think that way because of their build, their look, their style, the way they talk on the mic. I think they need a nice slow build. They need a nice slow story. And I don't think you're going to see CM Punk probably wrestle more than when we get to WrestleMania. He's probably had 10 to 12 matches, most at the most.
Huh?
I'm throwing that out there too. I think he's getting one of those. We want to sell your merch. We want you on the microphone. You're going to wrestle. We'll probably put the world title on you. He's going to probably end up beating Seth Rollins either then or at the next pay-per-view, I think. But I think he's going to have a nice slow build.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think. I think what I felt like from Raw last night, even though like some of the material on Raw was kind of mediocre, you saw some movement. You saw, you know, getting the Creed brothers over.
No.
Right? Boring as shit. They're Ohio boys, but I'll tell you what, they can go. They're this generation's version of the Steiner brothers. I don't care what you say. I've watched them enough in NXT. I've watched the kids work. I like them. I think they're good. And I think that you've seen some stuff move. They're trying to move the needle. And I think Triple H is really good at telling this. We saw it with the Bloodline. I think we're going to see a slow build now from this point forward to Mania. And you're going to see the dots connected. You're going to see them connected at the paper, the PLEs. We'll get to Rumble, and then I know the stuff that we've been pulling for since we've been doing these podcasts, like, oh, we need to see. I think we're going to start to see that stuff. That's just my opinion. Like I said, I know the material was kind of weak last night, but I think you need to start establishing a base, and I think that's the direction they're going.
So long-term booking, who does Roman face at Mania?
Rock. That's the only person he can.
If it's not The Rock, though, I think it'll be one more go around with Cody.
Yeah.
I think that'll be it because I think, and they need to get back to that story of finishing, quote, the story, end quote. They need to get back to that before it totally dissipates and people forget about it.
I think, if it is The Rock, I think Punk wins the Rumble.
Okay.
But if it's not The Rock, I think Cody wins the Rumble, or I think Gunther wins the Rumble, and we see a three-way match.
Hmm.
What about Gunther and Roman?
That's what I'm saying. I think we see him either plugged in, or Cody take on Gunther because there's a weird ending at the Rumble, and then Cody gets the spot and gets to finish the story. But I don't know, but I think if you're betting, I think the main events would probably be, like you said, Cody and Reigns, Punk and Rollins, and they're going to build everything up from there.
Is there much history in AEW of CM Punk and Cody?
Actually, funny you mentioned that. I was thinking about that. I don't think so, because I think, I'm damn certain of it.
Cody's one of the reasons that Punk got brought in. I know that.
But I think, though, that Cody had was almost on his way out as Punk came in. So they were two ships in the night, if you will. I think that there was maybe a couple of weeks difference of Cody leaving and CM Punk coming in.
Now, I also did see another YouTube clip of MJF and Punk, where Punk says, I'm going to be here for a while. You can go over to WWE and headline one of the two or three nights of the big show.
Yeah, but
this is really ironic, because now they're flipped.
Yeah, it is a little bit ironic, but I think it was just dumb luck.
Because I think now that he's there, I think MJF comes, because his best buddy's there with Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Punk had a rapport, and him and Punk had a hell of a run together.
Oh, they had some great matches.
I think he leaves.
Well, his contract's up next year.
I know,
but
I said, I think he signed something behind closed doors. I think that's some speculating, too. I don't know when it's up. Could you imagine if he comes out the night after WrestleMania?
Can you imagine what that would do to AEW's ratings?
Can you imagine? I don't give a fuck.
he's the highlight of their show to me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, statistically, he is. Up until, I think, the last month or so, he has not been. But historically, statistically, he has been.
He's made Adam Cole have a personality and be somewhat relevant to more than just the internet marks.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's tough. Adam Cole's a hell of a talent. But to get over with it, once again, there it is, the casual fan, nobody cared about
him. Mm-hmm. All right, so with that then, gentlemen, let's start wrapping things up. Joey, let's talk about where folks can find you on the internet.
Well, you can always find me on Instagram at DJ Joey Blaze, or you can find us on Whatnot at Remix Collectibles, or we go online, we do live auctions, we sell Funko Pops, we sell action figures, we sell sports cards, sometimes we do sneakers. We have a lot of fun on there.
What about weapons-grade plutonium?
I'm waiting for that to get passed and to be added as a category. Oh,
okay.
They just added rocks and crystals on there.
Okay.
So I'm hoping weapons grade plutonium is up next.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. Good. Let me know when that goes through.
Okay. So we call it WGP for those. Yeah. That's what we're waiting on, the WGP to be.
That makes sense.
Wait a minute. Can I get old WBF videotapes?
Actually, I sell IcoPro creatine on there.
Okay. Yes. I'm going to have to check that out. All right. Remix Collectibles on Whatnot. There you go. Rand, where can folks...
In addition to the internet at Rand Dittmar, 11 letters, you can also find me in various Kroger foyers ringing the bell for the Salvation.
Oh, that's right. It's time for you to ring that bell.
Folks, you don't need to drop in bills. Take whatever coins you have in your pocket. It adds up.
I'm also out in front of grocery stores, but I'm playing an accordion. And I'm playing Christmas carols with it.
Okay.
Well, isn't that the most annoying fucking thing out there? Like, it's the holidays, dude. Get a fucking real job.
What if it was Weird Al Yankovic playing the accordion outside?
I don't give a fuck if it was Weird Al Yankovic.
You couldn't think of another accordion player, could you?
I don't care if it's Christopher Walken.
Judy Tenuta before she passed.
Yes, okay, there you go. Tiny Tim. No, I think it was a squeeze box, actually, okay. Not an accordion. There is a difference. Anyways.
I dated a girl in high school I called squeeze box.
No, I bet you did. Anyways, Rand, where can folks find you on the internet?
He just said, on X.
Twitter, X, yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I'm brought to you by Captain Morgan Spiced Rum.
No. You have a sponsorship with them? Wow.
I might as well.
I'm brought to you by Trojan Magnum Brand.
Okay. Boy, I'm glad you guys went out and got sponsors. You were jealous of my WG Comics sponsorship, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rant, thanks for stopping by and chatting with me. Appreciate it.
Frank Drebin forever.
Everyone right last week.
On your own show, which was viewed by how many people again, Rand?
Thousands.
My wife and cat.
All right. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, collectively known as the Pro Wrestling Pundits. And now, maybe you agreed with some of the ideas and theories that we've talked about on this program, and maybe you want to let me know about that. Well, let me tell you how you can reach me if you want to chat or let me know your thoughts on this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, first of all, you can find me over on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can drop me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look for at PVDcast. And of course, you can always shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. And this is also a good opportunity for me to talk to you about PVDcast.com, which is the online home of yours truly and the best place to get every single episode of this podcast. It's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio apps, Deezer, etc., etc. All you have to do is go into the search bar of your favorite podcasting app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. But if you're using one of those outlets, you really need to help me out. Please rate and review the episode. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, you also want to subscribe so that you never miss a single episode of the PVD cast. But there's a couple of other ways that you can hear this great podcast. First of all, every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page, you can hear this week's episode. And the PVD cast is even available through internet radio giant Croc Radio. That's right, CROC Radio in British Columbia hosts the PVD cast every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So just go on over to Croc Radio and give it a listen. And while you're over there, check out some of the other great shows that are on that great network. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2023.